Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm here as Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
And there he is.
Oh, he's back. Woo-hoo, we almost lost him.
Yes, but I still have to adjust a bit.
Hey, we don't need to know about those personal details.
Yeah, I mean, we're not playing baseball. You don't need to, you know, tell us what's going on down
you
there.
You know, you think you're funny. You think you're funny.
Oh, I don't think anything. I really don't.
Yeah, but... there we go. Much better. That
this,
sounds good.
Is okay. This how you're going to be this weekend?
Probably. So,
I'm nervous about this weekend, but go ahead.
Yes. So, I was going to say, before we get into this, let's make sure we remind our listeners who are in the Finger Lakes, New York area, to check out
to check out the
Finger Lakes Comic Con this weekend, because we're going to be there all 3 days. We actually have a table, guys.
Yes. It's got a place and everything.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the place, but it's a place.
It's at the Finger Lakes Event Center.
Which is at their mall.
Which is at their mall, yes. And of course, you can find all this information on their Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Finger Lakes Comic Con.
Or our
Facebook page. Or our Twitter.
Or your local... supermarket circular, maybe.
Yes,
I can't guarantee that last one, but we'll be there.
We'll be there. We're hosting panels. We'll be talking to people. We'll giving away some stuff to people. Yes,
we may even motorize that table and drive it around the con.
Yes, we may. We may unspeakable.
We may do anything for any kind of press at this point.
We might do unspeakable things to John during our second panel.
But we've already seen that. That's old. It's old news. Like,
and if you can't make it, we'll live stream it for you.
Sounds like a plan.
And we'll be kicked off YouTube faster than you could say.
Pretty much anything.
Yes. But that's not why we're here tonight. No. We're here to talk about all the goings on in the world of Marvel and DC movies and television TV. Shows. And
whatnot.
And of course, the big story, the big story, is that... The Batman has a new director because Ben Affleck has stepped away from being the director.
And he can only wear so many cowls.
Yes, and of course that director is Matt Reeves, who did the Planet of the Apes movies?
Yeah, he's been busy lately. He did the Cloverfield movie a couple years back, and both the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and the upcoming War for the Planet of the Apes. So he's been an up-and-comer. Should be interesting.
So,
and of course, I've only seen one of those movies that he directed, and it looked like Steadicam, or not like what do you call it? A footage movie. I'm not really always a fan of those. Not really a reflection of.
Well, wait a minute.
Movie per se.
Are you saying this is going to be Batman with a GoPro?
That would actually be kind of cool. Now that you mention that, I would not be opposed to that. There's not really a known reporter. I mean, I guess you could say Vicki Vale. Like, if it was like Vicki Vale and her cameraman, and like doing this whole like. You know, on the streets, getting involved in stuff and interacting, ending up interacting with the Bat family.
No, it wouldn't be shaky enough. I want to see the Bat GoPro from his cowl as he's, you know, swinging through and then, you know, breaking through the glass of a window and then punching out people.
I think they could find a way to make that work. I'd be behind that if they could make it work well. Anyway, that's not necessary.
So before we get into my one major concern, my other major concern is the last time that they had a director who directed a famous found footage movie, then helm a superhero movie, we got the last Fantastic Four movie.
Well, I don't know if you can.
Because Josh Trank did the Chronicle.
For, But he went straight from Chronicle to Fantastic Four. That was like a meteoric rise, and they put too much on his plate, and the studio tried to control too much. This
and
is a little bit
Fantastic
different.
Four.
This is and a little bit different, right. Yeah. In this case, Matt Reeves has had a chance to prove himself with a handful of other movies. I just said I happened to not see them. It doesn't mean they weren't good. I'm not really into the Planet of the Apes movies, per se. And I don't really watch horror movies like the Let Me In movie that he did. So, but I've heard good things about them. So, and they're not all found footage. So I would imagine that he does have skill beyond that.
All right. But the other thing, now of course, our good friend Ben Affleck, because, you know, we hang out with him every weekend.
Yeah, sure.
I call him number two.
Yes. He, of course, has said, oh, well, he's not directing the movie because he thought about it. It would be too difficult to direct the movie while in the bat suit, blah, 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 blah. But let's go back a couple months ago. Might have even been a month ago. Where, in an interview, he said he was going to direct the movie as long as he believed in the script.
Uh-oh.
But now they're rewriting the script.
Exactly. So what does this actually mean for this movie?
Well,
propellant again?
You can jump to conclusions on this easily, but
we know we love to do that on this show. So come on.
We do, yes. You could jump to the conclusion that because the script is getting rewritten and he's already stepping away as director, A, he doesn't like the script as it is enough to direct it, and B, he's not sure he's going to like the replacement script anymore. But you could also just assume that he had a change of heart, that he realized that it might be too much to take on to do this big starring role and to direct at the same time. Just a thought. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I have a conclusion I can jump to. They're gonna put Batman up against his two greatest arch enemies ever, King Tut and Egghead.
No. They've already. That's another thing, right? Like the movie.
No, they're going up against Deathstroke, played by Joe Manganiello.
Right. That's another thing. Like here we go again. They announced who the villain is before they wrote a movie.
Yeah, that's DC.
Again, there are worse things. If that's the direction they know they want to go, fine. If they can find a way to write a movie around it, I can spend, you know, an afternoon coming up with ideas and writing a movie around that. It's not like they have to pigeonhole it into anything else. You know, I see what you're saying about it, but at the same time, it bothered me more when they did that with Batman versus Superman, because they basically let us know before they had a script that it was going to be a versus movie, and with the two of them, and that was sort of very much cart before horse situation.
Right, right.
And then, I think in this case, you have to know what villain you're going to be working with before you start writing the script.
Yes, but are they going to do a villain origin story, or is he just going to be Deathstroke? A lot of questions.
Will there be Mirakuru involved?
Oh boy.
but yeah, I don't know. It's I know a lot's up in the air, and again, you also had the situation, I think, with Batman v Superman, where they were more concerned about hitting visual beats in that movie and then figuring out a story to make them all tie together.
Yeah.
As opposed to, let's write a really good story and then figure out what the visuals are from the story we write.
Right.
But I could be. And
I mean, wait, it can't be any worse than Suicide.
We'll see.
You know, you shouldn't say that because this is DC. And so far, they managed to take Batman and Superman and make it bad.
I mean, even somehow. Lawrence Fishburne is coming out against saying that Marvel is trouncing DC with these movies.
Yes.
And he's in the DC universe.
Yeah. Well, you saw the look on Ben Affleck's face during that one interview, right? You know, they made it famous because the look on it. What is it? The meme is, it's the look on your face when you realize your movie really was that bad.
Yeah.
He just looks so sad.
Yes. And distraught. And
yeah.
Poor, poor Ben.
Well, look on the bright side. At least that's the only movie DC's rewriting.
No, it's not. Sorry. This was announced a couple weeks ago, but due to our, obviously, obligations with interviews, we didn't cover this. They're doing a full Flash script rewrite at this point.
Yeah. Does that mean they're going to drop that weird-ass suit that he wears, or probably?
Well, I mean, that's already going to be the suit in Justice League, so I'm not really sure how they can drop it at this point.
Well, they could pull a They could pull a Tony Stark Spidey move there and have him wear some stupid suit first and then have Ben Affleck build him a new one.
They could also pull a face off and have Grant Gustin play the Flash.
No, that's a different Earth.
No, and that would, you know, that would actually make sense.
Yeah, it's a different Earth, a better Earth, a more happy Earth.
No.
I mean, maybe.
And I'm sorry, I just said something and it's people might take it the wrong way. I have nothing against Ezra. Just everyone is so used to and likes Grant Gustin as the Flash. It doesn't make sense to just in the middle of that go, oh, now here's someone else playing him on the big screen.
It's okay, Ezra. It's okay. Second place is good too. but come on the show, please.
Yes. Yes. We'd love to talk to you and see you defend a script rewrite at this point.
Well, you know, that the Earth that the DCEU takes place in is a completely different and much darker Earth dimension. One that even the bounty hunters from Earth 19 won't go to.
Yeah, even the Joker gas is sad on that planet.
Sad on that planet. Oh, that's bad. That's really bad. So, yeah, I don't know, guys. I mean, we got Wonder Woman and Justice League coming out this summer. Yeah. So we're going to have to wait and see. I still think the previews for Wonder Woman look good. I haven't seen anything that makes me question it.
No rewrites.
No rewrites. No talks
that we know of.
No talks about reshoots or anything. Yet. Well, it's coming out soon, so I don't know.
Hey, you know, they did reshoots like a month before the release for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So it's still up in the air. So I'll when they release a movie that's good, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. When I see one from beginning to end, and I think, wow, they actually turned it around and made a good movie. Then from that point forward, I will give them the benefit of the doubt for other movies. But until that happens, which it hasn't yet, I'm skeptical.
So
yes, so it's basically the same thing about looking for terrorists. If we see something good, we'll say something good.
So
I mean, my only optimism is the fact that they're rewriting these scripts is maybe a sign that because they appoint I forget who it was, Jeff Johns or someone to like. Be the Kevin Feige of the DCEU, essentially. So maybe some of this is coming out of him looking at those things from that level and saying, look, you want to compete with Marvel. These are not the ways to do it. And you need to rewrite these things significantly for these to be competitive.
I mean, Jeff Johns was overseeing some of the development of the TV shows. So...
Yeah.
Again, I mean, and maybe it's just Berlanti and his involvement, but I would have to think if they got that so right. And of course, we know they have issues because they're CW shows.
Yeah, but, I'm not saying they got everything right, but they're enjoyable.
But better than their movie universe currently. You know, which again, I'm very optimistic for Wonder Woman, but Justice League more and more. It's just we haven't, this wasn't in the list for tonight, guys, but since we're on the topic, the pictures were leaked from the set of Henry Cavill in a black Superman suit, which is reminiscent of the regeneration suit from when, you know, Superman comes back to life, which we knew it was
going... validated? I thought that was a hoax. I wasn't sure if that was real.
Oh, I don't know if it was a hoax. But I mean, a couple people have, what's his face? Cavill tweeted a picture that looked like an up-close of his suit, the black Superman suit. He actually tweeted that.
Okay.
Well, so, I don't know. And then, yeah, I think it was last week there were some pictures that were grainy and maybe they were fake, who knows. But here's the thing, you know that they're bringing him back. But
yeah, you know they are, but we don't know in what how soon or what capacity.
Right, but the question too is like, well, hold on, so either we're building a team... So we're bringing a bunch of strangers together. Plus, we're fighting, not Darkseid, but Darkseid's,
Steppenwolf.
Yeah, Steppenwolf. And we're also going to bring Superman back from the dead at the same time. Like, they tried to cram a lot into Batman v Superman, remember?
Yeah.
It's like they don't realize, you know, like Spider-Man, what killed, two runs of Spider-Man so far is the packing of the bad guys, you know?
Exactly. So. I don't know, man. Since we're on DC, and we'll stay on DC, we'll talk about TV a little bit here.
Yeah.
There was a new show that came out.
We'd be powerless not to talk about it at this
juncture. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Riverdale, right?
Oh, my God. I wish.
Yeah. Do they own that? I can't remember.
No. I don't know. I don't think they do.
Someone owns Archie Comics, and I thought it was one of the big two. But
they might own them now. Yeah, that's true. That's probably why it's on CW. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, No.
But we're talking about a show that's on
what NBC, channel? I believe. NBC.
NBC, which again was like feels out of left field a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I was all behind the idea of this type of show, of the premise, like a half hour sitcom superhero themed show.
I didn't think Alan Tudyk could make me hate Alan Tudyk.
I know. That was the most part of like, at least it's at Alan Tudyk. This has got to be enjoyable on some level. And then it proved to not be. Maybe some of it's me. Maybe like I've sort of grown out of sitcoms for the most part. Like I do not watch very many of them anymore. Whereas in the 90s, that was my fare. Nowadays, I watch very few. But this is so
hokey.
This isn't a sitcom. This isn't like Cheers or Friends. This is even Parks and Rec. It's not
like what aired during those other shows were running that no one remembers.
It's so tongue in cheek. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I mean it's surprising there's not a laugh track in it, you know, with the way that the beats that they hit. And it's
just think Scrubs but hokier.
Right. What gets me about it is, yeah, like you said, they got me to dislike an Alan Tudyk character. Although he still is one of the more enjoyable characters on that show. And they also got me to dislike Danny Pudi. Is that how what is his name, last name? The guy from Community.
Oh, yeah, Pudi, yeah.
Indian.
Yeah.
I love that guy in Community. And I had high hopes for him. And just comes off as a jerk in the show. And it's okay if he comes off as a jerk in an interesting way. But he doesn't.
And
he just comes off as a jerk.
I didn't know it was possible to make Vanessa Hudgens unattractive.
And Ron,
and she has good comedic timing, and I mean she's trying.
Yeah, she is trying, but the whole show is trying in a different way.
Ron Funches, is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
He's been on At Midnight how many times?
And he's hilarious,
and he's always hilarious on there.
Yeah,
and this he falls flat. The problem is everyone's flat. Every single character is flat.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not. There's not enough depth written into them. The lines just aren't. They try to punch these notes way too hard.
They're
you know,
all one-dimensional characters in there, and they've all got. They're all one-line characters, basically.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, there's no depth and there's no character development, and it's just
the jokes are obvious.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the things that annoyed me most with the first episode. Almost every joke from that episode was already in all the previews. Like you saw them all because they, you know, that was the funniest thing they had going for them, and it
Yeah, but Dave's right. I mean, you can see every one of these jokes, you can almost mouth it as the character is mouthing it because you know what's coming because they're not original and
they're telegraphed.
Yeah, they're basically the jokes. Well, they're basically the jokes I make, but you know,
right.
Well, it was like the first episode where you know it's she writes think different or be different on the whiteboard and
like that's permanent marker.
That's permanent marker. Oh, well, that's because I want us to permanently think this. Okay. And then, you know, she's trying to give her pep speech. And of course, somebody in the audience goes, think outside the box, you know, obvious, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, right. I want you to drop what you're working on. Or what are you working on? I'm literally working on a box. Like, oh, come on. Like, that was such a forced joke.
Although the joke I did like, the one joke I did like was the Wainwright line, you know, like the joke about the, you know, people don't come up with these ideas overnight. And then Alan Tudyk's line was, he literally left a lime in a beer overnight. That one I liked, but it was the only one.
But it was also obvious, though.
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't, they didn't have to try hard for that one.
And then at the end of the first episode, when they're watching the TV and it's like, Batman literally uses the same invention they came up with to catch the Joker, and they go, "What a coincidence! Like, we're so stupid."
It's like somebody writing jokes, but with no patience whatsoever to get to the punchlines.
Right.
So they skip a lot of setup.
But see, I think, like, if the rest of the show was funny and well-written and good, I would have forgiven that at the end. I would have been like, okay, they're trying to be tongue-in-cheek with that and maintain that people just don't get that he is Batman. And I'd be okay with that. But it was just the, you know, the whip-topping on a turd Sunday. It didn't add up to something great.
It's still not as bad as Gotham.
So, no, I guess that's true. I'd rather watch this than Gotham any day. But, and I'm probably going to watch a few more episodes just to see. But I mean, the recent Muppet Show was better than this show.
I work with, today we were talking about this show because he watched the first episode as well. And he went, yeah, I can't even say that it's, that Gotham's worse, because he's like, Gotham's actually gotten good this season. So I don't know if that's true, because
I cannot confirm nor deny
it, but yes. But it's like, wow, okay, so this is worse than Gotham, people.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to find out. But
I mean, there are hints that they're trying to add heart to it, but you can't add a heart to it by nailing the heart, you know, with a staple gun to the script.
It's not even.
But the thing is, here's the thing. It's already gotten a revamp before it made it to the small screen. Like, there was a preview for this show months ago that was a completely different format, where it was more of an office comedy, and they revamped it to be this, like, Wayne, you know, Labs type environment instead. So it had already, you know, pretty much got a page one rewrite to get to air in the first place.
Right.
So
which we don't know how much they rewrote from the original show, and then they had to reshoot the whole thing. So,
and maybe some of this is they're still struggling with those original scripts. And if they start writing some new scripts, maybe they'll be better. I don't know. Again, I'm going to keep watching it. But if you're looking for something new and funny, I would not put this at the top of your list.
No.
So
I feel powerless.
Well, it is. As the chief DC apologist, I have to say I'm sorry.
All right. Let's talk about
something. We'll forgive you this time.
Let's talk about something good.
John Wick. No, sorry.
Marvel has officially begun production on Infinity War.
It's going to take forever. Duh.
It is glorious.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about this. I mean, you're talking about, like, I saw, I don't typically watch these types of things, but I think I watched this featurette where they had Robert Downey Jr. and, you know, what's his name? The Spider-Man kid.
Uh-huh.
And I forget who the third one. Oh, I think Chris Pratt was standing there. These people are in a movie theater. This is amazing. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Captain America, the whole nine yards.
So we get through the list of who confirmed to be in the movie so far?
We know that the entirety of the Guardians of the Galaxy will be in the movie.
The entire Avengers from the first Event movie.
Right. Plus pretty much the last.
Right. Plus Vision. Plus Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
They haven't. The Wasp isn't confirmed yet. Ant-Man is confirmed.
I read somewhere that the Wasp, they were going to reserve because their movie is coming after Infinity War, I think. So they don't want her spotlight to be stolen by introducing her in this huge ensemble prior to introducing her.
So let me continue. Okay. Doctor Strange, of course.
Of course.
Black Panther.
Yep.
Captain Marvel.
Yes. They're choosing Captain Marvel in this one. You know, I'm okay with it. Because they can't.
No, I'm reacting as a DC person going, man, we're never going to catch up to this.
Because, I mean, I don't think they need to over harp on her origin and have a whole origin movie for her.
No, they don't.
I do want her to have her own movie, and she will. But I'm okay with them sort of nestling her debut into this forum.
Right. Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Ant-Man.
Of course.
Nick Fury.
Right.
So he's going to make a comeback.
Yep.
Wong.
Yep.
Is going to be back.
Please say anybody from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just anybody.
And Thanos. That's who's confirmed. Rumored at this point, but not confirmed, are the Netflix Defenders team.
Yeah.
Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. Phil Coulson.
Yes.
Maria Hill, Jane Foster, Pepper Potts, Betty Ross, General Ross and Ghost Rider.
And so each one of them will get at least 5 seconds of screen time.
So here's my question, though.
Over three movies.
We haven't seen Betty Ross in a long time. And right, when we did, there were two different versions.
Yeah.
So would
the Jennifer Connelly
back...
good version.
Right. And the Liv Tyler version that's technically canon.
Oh, that's true, because that movie is canon. They didn't make... Oh, gods.
Because it's the same actor playing Thunderbolt Ross. So, yes.
So the question is, would they bring Liv Tyler back, or would they put, like, a new person in that role?
Hey, you forgot an actor. You can't make this movie without Stellan Skarsgård.
Will he be running around naked?
I don't know. I mean, he'll be Skarsgårding as hard as any Skarsgård ever has ever Skarsgårded before. But, you know, you need Stellan Skarsgård. It's not a good movie without a Skarsgård in it, right?
Fair.
So here's the thing. So as exciting as this is, mm-hmm. And also I noticed, too, that he's not even in the rumored list, which is kind of bothering me, is two of them, Anthony Mackie and... of course, Falcon, and what's the name of the actor who plays War Machine?
Oh, Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Don Cheadle. Like,
I would be doubtful that they don't end up in the list. Like, Anthony Mackie, definitely. I think there's no reason for him not to be involved because he's not. You know, nothing's happened to him per se that would keep him out of things. Mm-hmm. Don Cheadle, I could kind of see him. There. Maybe just making a cameo, but because he might still be in recovery from the accident in Civil War, but right. But maybe not actually show up as War Machine. But I can't imagine them completely not referencing it. Now, I will say some of those ones on the rumored list, I would be surprised to see. Like, for instance, Jane Foster. I know that Natalie Portman sort of got a love-hate relationship with Marvel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I want to say that... Gwyneth Paltrow is not much better in that respect. Like, yeah. Might be a little bit more willing to come back, but not necessarily itching to do so.
Why is it all the girlfriends that are having trouble with Marvel at this point?
I don't know. And it's funny because they were actually written better in the movies than they were in the comics. But that aside...
That is true.
they still seem to be problematic. And I don't know. Maybe there's other factors there. Who knows? But, I'd be happy if they have Lady Sif in there and a bunch of Asgardians, including maybe the Valkyrie that they're introducing in Ragnarok. I'm good with all that too.
You know, and then of course, what about Deathlok? We haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Well, someone's got the fort back at home.
Okay. But here's the thing: like we just complained about the Spider-Man movies being overpacked with villains, and maybe
but it's different.
Justice League being overpacked. Again. And I understand we're not doing any, we don't need to do a lot of character development at this point because everyone knows all of these characters.
And they've been introduced with their own movies, which is different from right. The way, you know, the Spider-Man and the DC movies have been handled.
Exactly. By the time we get to this movie, almost every single character in this list has had time to be developed as a character. So to bring them together in this format, I'm okay with that. It can seem like it'd be too much, but look at the first Avengers movie. They actually introduced a bunch of characters in the first Avengers movie that they hadn't had in previous movies. And I feel like that movie was one of their best movies. You know, they had really good character development for those in the time that they had available for those new additions. And they did a lot with them. And I think this is going to be similar in the fact that, like, whereas in Avengers, what made Avengers interesting is while they did have a main adversary, some of their adversity was acclimating to each other. And mm-hmm. in this, we're coming off of Civil War. They're really not fully back, you know, 100% as like teammates. And now we're introducing a whole bunch of other teams and groups of people to this group. There's going to be some friction there, some
yes.
team building. I mean, that almost writes itself.
Yeah. Now, just keep in mind that we talked about how all these characters have been introduced in their own movies and TV shows and such. And so, you know, everybody's gotten already a fair shake, which is why we don't have to do any development in this. We just go right in with the big bang. But if you want to catch up, according to Geek Recue, whoever the hell they are, if you want to catch up, you will have to spend 122 hours and 26 minutes watching all the movies and TV shows and and was it web-only shows to catch up on what's going on in the Marvel Universe.
I'm sure there's things I missed in there. That is a lot, though.
120 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot of hours of entertainment.
It's five days long and includes every single movie, TV episode, and short that takes place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Think about this. If it just to do, like, when they did the last Avengers movie, they did the first Avengers movie. The theaters had a marathon of all their movies leading up to the Avengers. Yeah. And that was like an all-day event.
Right,
and literally. Then they did it again for the second Avengers movie leading up to it, and it was like a weekend event.
Yeah.
How they can't do it for
this
one.
No, I don't think they can. It'd be really – like that's a week-long vacation commitment to catch up, especially if you start including the shows. And what's funny is like you say that's a huge, you know, monumental amount of, you know, footage, but pretty much all of us have watched almost all of that.
What do you mean almost? Yes.
Like, I can't think of anything that I haven't watched, honestly, except maybe some webisodes of some things.
There's, like, the WHIH Newsfront web series, the Ant-Man stuff.
I mean, yes. Yeah, I don't think I watched that.
We've wasted a lot of hours together.
Yeah. Yes. But that's not a lot that we're behind.
We've wasted a lot of hours together, guys.
Yes, we have.
So, yeah, I mean, it's we'll find out soon. I really can't wait to see the first footage and previews from.
Oh,
yeah, it'll be mind blowing.
Yeah, the number I gave. I'm sorry, 122. That's then because it doesn't include Luke Cage and Doctor Strange.
And
Iron Fist.
No, it doesn't include Iron Fist either. Includes everything up to Civil War and everything before Doctor Strange, basically.
And probably not the current season of S.H.I.E.L.D. either.
I think that was put in because you're able to figure out what those are going to be, but they weren't, when they wrote this up, they weren't sure how long the Luke Cage series was going to be and how long the Doctor Strange movie was going to be finalized.
Right.
So here's something else, guys.
5-6 days.
That I think every fan should keep in mind, too. Especially with, I think, all the Avengers movies and... like a lot of their movies, Marvel likes to keep some stuff back, you know, like secrets that they haven't announced yet, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Even, like how even if it's...
Right.
Like they held off for a long time saying that Spider-Man was in Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, because it seemed like too quick. Like, there's no way he's already in Civil War because they just cast the kid and boom, he was in Civil War. Yeah. And then they've done some twists. And they've done some twists and reveals and that have been, you know, some mind-blowing, some annoying. They've already told us that Captain Marvel is in this movie, being introduced in this movie.
Right.
What haven't they told us about this movie?
That's a good point. There's a lot of things.
Squirrel that could Girl.
I wouldn't
Squirrel
rule it
Girl
out.
Squirrel Girl is going to have a major part in this movie.
I would not rule it out. I mean...
Played by Riddle.
They can... At this point... Would anyone be disappointed if all the Avengers are defeated? Squirrel Girl shows up. She disappears off camera for a minute and comes back and beats. And Thanos is beaten.
Well,
carrying the gauntlet and with all the gems.
Well, they could also go that way with Deadpool at this point.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard making that crossover at this point, though.
I know. You know, it's kind of sad. He can break the fourth wall, but he can't break the network wall.
He can't break the studio wall.
The studio wall.
So, you mentioned Iron Fist.
Yes.
We got our first look at Iron Fist this week.
You did. Well, second look. It was the second trailer. They had one, a teaser trailer.
Quick little teaser. This kind of gives you a bit more... Biddle? This gives you a bit more...
A bit of lit, yeah.
A bit of lit of his backstory and what's going on.
Yep. And some of his power.
Yes. Apparently he can't afford shoes.
Well, you know, it's an Eastern culture thing. He's been in a hidden city for 10 years.
Well, that's true. So, what did you guys think? I thought it looked really good.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I was excited by it. I was already looking forward to it, but definitely with seeing the effect of how they're going to do the Iron Fist, I like a lot. And just seeing what they're setting up. Like, I was concerned about how they're going to set up that world. And the fact that they have a guy, you know, running his company, who's asking these questions. So he's sort of their main adversary. But then we also see that that woman, the Chinese woman, who's been recurrent in Daredevil, is showing up.
Mother Crane, is it?
Yeah, Mother Crane. Yeah. Is going to show up and knows about what he's been through, essentially. That I'm excited about. And then we saw Claire Temple, because you've got to have that connective tissue for the Defenders. So it is very... And Colleen Wing kicking butt all over the place. It's really... there's nothing not to like, as far as I'm concerned. Of course, John would dislike something.
Well, no, not dislike. I mean, the optics look good, but I didn't get much of a feeling from the trailer of his motivations, like they did with Luke Cage. I mean, Luke Cage, you got a feeling of, you know, what he's going to go up against, and you know, the whole flavor of the character. Whereas this is just, you know, everybody was kung fu fighting.
What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Wait. There's nothing wrong with everybody's kung fu fighting. You will never catch me saying that at all. And I'm not worried about the show. I'm just saying that the trailer kind of left me a little bit dry on the, okay, so he's Danny, but what's his character? What is he besides, you know,
let me play fist, devil's advocate it. Here with you, John. Let me play devil's advocate and rewind a bit.
You mean like you always
remember,
do?
I do. And let's remember one of the trailers that came out for Luke Cage before it aired, where it basically just had him ripping a door off of a car and running and walking down a hallway, getting riddled with bullets and with rap music. And does that tell you more of a story and more character development than this trailer does?
Well, yeah, that was the first trailer, like kind of this one. So, you know, when they come out with another one, that's great. Like I said, I'm not worried about the series at all. This is Netflix, and so far they've been batting 1,000. So yeah. I'm just saying the trailer was a little bit light on that. That's all.
Right, but I think it's par for the course.
How about a story of a corporation that's owned by this man, and he disappears with his family, and then all of a sudden one day the son returns to the company to try to take it back over, since it is
Iron Man, right? That's what you're saying?
We know the Iron Fist story. The story is that Danny Rand disappeared in an accident where his parents died, and everyone presumed him dead. He disappeared for a decade. And the reason he disappeared for a decade is because some monks from Kunlun found him, and Kunlun is like the Asian equivalent to,
Brigadoon?
Up down my head. Brigadoon, that was what I was looking for. A Brigadoon, where this is a city that only shows up like once every 10 years. And so he basically couldn't come back home until it showed up again. So now he comes back and he has to deal with usurpers to the throne, essentially.
Right.
It's kind of an Oedipus-ish.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure what preview you watched, because, you know, I paid attention and picked up on these little details they showed.
I'm allowed like I said, I got no worries about the show itself, and this was the first drop, so I'm sure the second or third will get more into motivations and character development and that sort of thing. Not that we even really need that in the trailers. I mean, everybody just went nuts when they saw his fist start to glow, so there you go, you know?
Yep.
Although, I'm hoping this is not quite a Last Dragon's scenario.
I'm not sure where you're going for there.
You know what the Last Dragon is, right?
I saw that when I was 10. I don't remember it at all at this
point. God, I'm old. I'm so old. The whole thing leading up to him finally using his power in like the last few.
I see what you're saying, but that doesn't really fit the mythos of the character. Like, he came from Kunlun having earned the Iron Fist. Like, he fought the dragon and I forget exactly what it was that he had to do, but basically
fight the dragon.
And defeated the dragon and got the power of the Iron Fist. So he should have it pretty much day one in the show. It should be a weapon in his arsenal. They'll have some reluctance to use it openly at first, you know, sort of like Luke Cage with his abilities, you know, trying to lay low and just achieve his goals of getting his life back together.
I also think they wouldn't have shown him using the power in the preview if it was, you know, at the end of the series.
Of course that they would. In a trailer? Of course you would. You want to get people excited, and that's what they're looking for. You would use that in the trailer if he only used it in the last 5 seconds of the last episode. That would be in the trailer.
I don't think that's likely.
What I also kind of find interesting, and I hope they play on this a little bit, is because he hasn't been around for a decade, he missed everything that went on in the world, so he doesn't know about the Avengers and the Ultron and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, so that's kind of, I mean, and I know that the Netflix shows don't really, they talk about it, but they don't really deal with that stuff. But it'd be interesting if they touch on that a little bit. Well, so here's a question. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when was Avengers released? Like, what year was that?
Oh my God, we're going years now.
Because it has been a while, and I can't remember what year it was. And maybe it was recently enough that it would fall within 10 years, 2012. All right. So, yeah, he would have definitely not been around for those events. But, yeah, I was just thinking, for some reason, it seemed like it might have been longer. If it fell, you know, a decade ago, then maybe he could have seen the front end of that before being whisked away into this mystical city. But yeah, no, I guess
How long was he away?
10 years. Because when he disappeared, he was 10 years old. When his plane crashed, he's 10. When he comes back, he's 20.
Okay, so he definitely wouldn't know about Jessica Jones or Luke Cage, right, because exactly. Netflix didn't exist 10 years ago.
Well, also in his world, they weren't on Netflix. They were real people that did.
So here's a question. Costume, yes or no? And does he get it in this season?
I think his canon costume
is silly,
but I think they'll make a nod to it somehow.
Like they did in Luke Cage.
Exactly. Like the whole yellow hoodie, weird, like the bandana thing tied on his head. I hope they don't go that way.
And the big lapels going out to like 4 feet on either side.
Oh yeah, they definitely won't do the big lapels.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what direction they go with it. I mean, with the Iron Fist, he can sort of get away with the shirtless look potentially because he can fend off anything that would injure his skin, and it would give him more freedom of movement, and you get to see the tattoo. But and that's a common look for him in the comics some of the time. But
he wears like a one piece green suit now. He doesn't have the open chest with the big lapels anymore.
Yeah,
and there's the image of the tattoo on the suit, but he still has the yellow bandana.
Yeah, I mean, I could see. So, in reference to that, I think it's one thing that they've been addressing interestingly with some of those Netflix shows, especially like Daredevil, not only with Daredevil himself, but also with Elektra. You know, Elektra, you know, I've heard it argued, you know, justifiably that the way that she dresses in the comics is ridiculous because it has no, like, you can identify her instantly, you know, and she's wearing all these streamers and tassels that are not very conducive to not getting your ass kicked. But in the Netflix show, she did wear like some degree of battle armor and had a mask, like instead of having a bandana thing on top of her head, she had one, like a scarf thing that she could pull up over her face to disguise her. And that made more sense. So I wonder if they would do something along those lines for Danny Rand in this. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I see it in the Defenders, but not in the standalone series.
Well,
I think it's
because if they team up to do something else, they might want to protect their identities at that point.
But
you know,
right. Daredevil could hook him up with his armor guy, and then they could sell a whole bunch of new toys,
which is probably going to happen
potentially.
Yeah,
but you know, it really depends on, you know, for Luke Cage, for instance, everyone knows what he can do, so there's really no reason at this point for him to ever like mask up and try to disguise who he is. With Daredevil, he's already chosen his path with that, clearly. And because he's only human, for the most part, he needs the body armor. You know, Jessica Jones is essentially, you know, a non-flying Supergirl, so I think she's pretty much okay. But whether she'll choose some form of anonymity is yet to be seen. So,
right, because technically she's in her standalone season, she flew under the radar.
Right.
So no one really knows who she is. So that it's still up in the air with her, yeah. You know, where everyone, Luke Cage was on the news. Like, it's not, it doesn't make sense for him to, you know, put on the Power Fist costume.
Right.
But even then, he never hid his identity. So, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
Me too.
I mean, you have to imagine, though, something like that's really got to mess with your head being away from the world for 10 years.
You know, look, we're going to talk about this.
Okay? Oh, God. What's he going to do about it?
But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to need an ice pick to put through my eye. So going from really good Marvel-based TV shows to
weird. Let's just say really weird and not be negative about it.
Oh, I'm going to be negative about it, damn it. Because
well, you can in a minute. I'm just saying as the intro.
All right.
Let's go from really good to really weird. And then we can get into differing opinions.
Legion was released this week on FX. And to mixed reviews.
Mixed in this room, yes.
There are some reviews that weren't positive on the show either.
Well, wait a minute, which one of you didn't like it?
The one who's been talking so far.
Oh, that figures.
I saw it coming too. I was like, when you watched it and you said, like, I watched it and I loved it from minute one. And I was like, oh, this is going to be my new favorite show. And I felt that way even at the end of the show. And then you watched it and I got the similar vibe from you, John. And I was like, Dave's going to hate it. Like, I knew it right away. I was like, Dave, you got to watch it. I'm thinking in the back of my head, he's going to hate it. And this will make for an interesting discussion.
So here's my, before we get into it, here's my initial experience with watching this show. Number one, I fell asleep watching it because it did not hold my interest at all.
What the hell did you fall asleep during that?
You watched it at 2 a.m.
No, I watched it. I watched it on Thursday when I was home because of the weather.
No, you watched it at 2 a.m. Just go with it. He's trying to save you here. He's giving you an out, man.
So the second time. And then today, I finished watching it. I couldn't finish watching. That was the whole thing. I was drifting in and out. I was trying to stay awake. I got to the point where he used his powers while he was being interrogated and made everyone fly across the room, but then they just gassed him, you know. Yeah. And I was just like, I can't watch any more of this, you know. But then you guys said you wanted to talk about it on the show, so I finished watching it today. And like I said, when I got to the end of it, I wanted to drive an ice pick through my eye socket. So Legion is David Charles Haller in the comic books. And in the comic books, he is the son of Professor Charles Xavier and Gabriel Haller. Two other mutants, obviously, from the X-Men series. And in the comics, he's supposed to be one of, if not the most powerful mutant, except he suffers from multiple personality disorder, and each personality has a different power.
Yep.
And David, in this show, is apparently a paranoid schizophrenic, and they want you to feel like a paranoid schizophrenic by the time you're done watching it.
Which I was on board with.
Mission accomplished, yeah.
Yes. So, see, the thing is, what I find funny about this, Dave, is everything that you hated about it are the exact things that John and I loved about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I find so amusing about it. I was like, I knew you were going to hate it, and I knew you were going to hate it for the reasons that I loved it.
And it's people like you that cause Batman v Superman to be made.
Now, wait a minute.
It's all John's fault.
No, wait, oh, hey. That's fair.
I'll bear that burden.
But the most brilliant thing about this show is that at the end, when he looks at his girlfriend and says, "Is this real?" and she says, "Yes," you're sitting there going, "I don't know if this is real or
exactly,
not."
Exactly. And that was amazing that they were able to accomplish that, to have you questioning the reality of the situation as much as he was through the way that they shot the show, through the way that you experienced it, through that lens, where you're as messed up about this as he is, where you're as unsure. Does he have abilities? Can he do anything? You know, is any of this real or happening? You know,
now I have a question. Did you watch Westworld? Both of you?
Yes.
No, I did not.
Oh, so people were defending this show because they were saying, well, Westworld was confusing, but Westworld was nowhere near as confusing, and the confusingness in Westworld was where they had their twists.
Well,
this felt like they were being confusing for the sake of being confusing, like you said.
No,
this was like Twin Peaks confusing, and that was the intention. Like, this was, as the way I see it, is this is a mashup of everything that's amazing and artsy about Wes Anderson, but through the warped lens of David Lynch. And that made it just wonderful and enjoyable.
The brilliant thing about this is that basically all the experiences that you're seeing through this show, and we're only on episode one, everything that you're experiencing, everything that you're seeing is through his eyes. You basically have as much information as he does.
Right. So you're suffering his fate, essentially. You're suffering with schizophrenia just like he is.
Right. And so at the end, you have as much information as he has, which is basically not enough to know what the hell is going on and what is real or not.
Right.
And there's, I mean, there are a lot of crazy. Can we get into spoilers?
I think we can. Spoilers.
All right, spoilers.
Yeah, because it's not like they're going to explain anything.
There are theories that the people that rescued him don't actually exist. There are other parts of his there are other personalities of his, because in one part of the show they had the guys who were trying to there was another psychologist that was asking him about the psychologist and the people before, and the psychologist was saying, but you know, these people, you know, you're talking about people that didn't exist. So,
right, like for instance, his girlfriend, there was no record of her.
Or the therapist that he was talking to in that facility.
Right.
So the facility might actually be his inner mind, and all of those crazy people were all different personalities of his.
Right. He could have been in solitary
So you're saying by the time we get to the end of the first season, we're just going to have him sit in a straitjacket drooling in a rubber room, and it was all in his mind the whole time. Woohoo! Wonderful TV.
No, that's not what we're saying. I think that he has escaped. I think that part is real. I think he did escape from those people that were questioning him. And I think all of their questioning was real. I think what we don't know whether it was 100% real or not are the events within the hospital, the people that he knew and met in the hospital, and the people that he's with now. And I think what John's getting at is there's a possibility that we may find that not all of them are. Like when he's running down the hill and you see the one guy like firing off like these, telekinetic blasts at people and things to take out the gunners and whatnot, that could very well be another personality of David lashing out, you know, taking control and lashing out against those things. And then, you know, at the times when we did see, what was weird is there was the point where he became the girl, right? He kissed the girl and became the girl and left the facility. But then he turned back into himself. And it's not
outside the facility,
right? Outside the facility. It's not typical that when you do that sort of swap, body swap, essentially, that you would turn back into your own body outside, you know, at some other point where you're out of contact with that person. That's a weird version of that power. And so it seems more likely that he rather was someone else in, you know, personality wise for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've already seen evidence. Like there was a scene where he thought he saw that guy who was interrogating him as one of the people in that car that pulled up to the hospital. And then was later convinced that it wasn't, that it was actually a different person that was one of the people he met. And we don't know which of those is real. Which of those memories is the real memory if either of them are.
And what,
he could have been making up the whole car.
Yeah. Now you two are the Marvel guys, so what the heck was that gray Trump doll thing that he kept
weird yellow-eyed demon thing?
Yeah.
Midget demon? I don't know. Honestly.
I mean, is that like the escaped costume from the Spawn movie? Is
it? It could be something they had left over from that. But, I mean, that's, like I said, that's sort of one of the David Lynchian type of aspects that they've taken on in this. And I'm really really curious to see where they go with it and to see if they can keep up the momentum. Now, granted, the first episode was long. It was an hour and a half long, which is not how all the episodes are going to run. It was a premiere. You know, they're mostly, the rest of them, I think, are all hour-long episodes. So hopefully the pace will be better going forward. But like I said, from minute one, from the musical montage of his weird, you know, childhood, you know, and on, I was hooked. And I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. I can't wait. I mean, like I said, the momentum, it's going to be really hard to see if the writing can be that good for the rest of the series.
Oh, sorry. I'm just pulling this ice pick out of my eye socket.
What the hell? I thought we, jeez.
Look, you don't have to like it. That's fine. There's plenty of shows that you like that I don't.
Yes.
That's fair.
I'm gonna watch it. I mean, you know, if they can keep that up, that will probably go for some kind of award or something.
That actually is to a general concern I have. I don't know if you can keep that up for too long.
It depends. I mean, and yeah, that is a concern because I mean, I wouldn't say similar, but like Mr. Robot was that sort of weird show where the first season, like, you had a lot of questions and there were some weird twists and turns.
But it wasn't as weird as this.
But no, but I'm saying, like, season two was not as well received as season one was and had sort of lost its thread a little bit partway through because they were, I think, were trying to maintain that level of weird and failing a little bit at it, or just not engaging the audience right. So, yeah, that is a risk that this could either try or patience or just be, you know, go a little too far off the deep end. But, I mean, weird shows have prevailed before. Like I mentioned Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks was always a weird show. It wasn't one that I was ever into, but a lot of people loved that show, and it's getting a revival. And so, you know, I think it can work for it if they manage it right.
So here's a question. The girl.
Which one?
The one he had the crush, the girlfriend.
Right.
Yep.
Her name was Sydney, right?
Yeah.
In the show. Okay. Neither of you guys ever read the comics, right?
Nope.
I did a comics explained rundown on what Legion's powers and all, so I'm up to date, I think.
Okay.
And Sid is one of his personalities, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess
and that's. And that's the thing. It's like, because again, he's got a crap load of personalities and I don't remember what they all are. And I've only read a couple stories with Legion in them.
They've never detailed them all. They've
right. Exactly. They've never detailed them all. And he never was that popular of a character.
But that's because what I think makes him an interesting character to do this with, because it's not like the movies were ever interested in doing anything with him. So right. Why not like do this one-off isolated show with him?
So I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of like if you go in knowing who all his personalities are, and then you have a scorecard you can follow.
Yeah, but that's the point. They've never put a number on what personalities. Basically, the comics keep coming up with new personalities for him. So this show has basically carte blanche. They can just do whatever they want. They could create new personalities, and you wouldn't know it until he's like reaches out a hand and hits a mirror or something, you know?
And honestly, I think if I had more knowledge of the character going into it, it would get on my nerves because I would, could put a level of expectation, a framework around what I'm expecting from this guy. Whereas right now I have none. And so the only thing creating that level of expectation is what the show is giving me. And I'm okay with that. I don't need a scorecard. I want to experience it fresh. Like a newborn baby.
Ew. Anyway, are you saying you're like a newborn baby? I ain't changing your diaper, man.
John will.
Oh, okay. Good. That's why we keep him around.
But, yeah, well, anyway, for those of you that did like it, John and I will keep pushing to talk about it here and there when we do episode updates, and we'll chat about it on the Slack board. If you're a member, you can come chat with us.
Yes. John and Ben would definitely enjoy that. I'll be looking for a new eyeball. I don't.
So next time on Superhero Speak.
So anyway, well, okay, so yeah, let's wrap it up because
as we've done our time,
we've done our time. So don't forget, if you're listening to this before the 17th,
and you're anywhere near the Finger Lakes in New York City or New York,
right? Or hey, people might want to drive up from somewhere or drive down or take a flight just to meet us in person.
Or take one in the opposite direction to avoid us, you know.
Point is, there's a con. There's a Comic Con in Finger Lakes, and we'll be there.
Yep.
Yes.
We'll even be running some panels and making fools of ourselves in public.
We're gaining traction. We're going as guests, and we're getting press passes to some of the other cons this year. So
we are the low rent Chris Hardwick.
Yes, we're the low rent Nerdist. So if you've got a small con and you want a Z-list celebrity to host a panel, keep superhero speak in mind.
Especially when that Z-list celebrity turns you down.
Yes.
We'll pick up the scraps.
We're double Z.
And if you listen to this show every week and you enjoy it, we thank you.
And we thank your psychologist.
We thank you. Obviously, you haven't listened. You haven't watched enough of Legion to lose your faculties yet.
Hey,
We thank you, and you know, don't forget to you know, subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a rating, give us a review and a rating, because that only helps us get higher visibility on iTunes. What
helps people know that we're out there.
It helps people. Yes, exactly. It helps people know we're out there. And if you're a loyal listener and you really enjoy the show, you know, again, don't forget, you know, go to our Patreon. We've got some good bonus material out there. After this weekend, I guarantee we'll have some more. And, you know, throw a few shekels our way. We really appreciate it. And, we'll keep you in stitches. Yeah. No.
Or what? If you don't seem to review, we'll put you in. No, wait. That's not the type of show we're running. Sorry. And I said that. We love you.
Yes. Hey, and if you contribute, maybe John will make you a cape.
Ooh.
But don't get it caught in the door. Did I step on something?
You stepped on and in something, you know? I can feel it ripping already, you know? Yeah, so on that note, boys and girls, thank you for listening. And as always, don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.